Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner. I remind you, on the way to this conversation, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. More information at www.mecu.com. Or you can log on to steinershow.org on our, and their banner is there all the time. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Okay. Welcome, everybody. We had this conversation about black men in the arts. Keith Snipes, who should be here in a few minutes, is an actor and activist and commentator who raised this question in an email to us the other week around question of masculinity, the arts, men, and the role that arts can play in the lives of black men, and why more people in the community are not into the arts, and what happens internally in that conversation. So Keith is not here yet, but I'm sure he's on his way. He'll be here in a minute. But we do have in the studio an old friend, Mark Cotman, Baltimore-based visual artist, owner of Mark Cotman Gallery in Federal Hill. Mark, good to have you back here once again.
Thank you, Mark.
Always good to see you, Mark. And Eric Conway is with us, director of the Morgan State University Choir, chairperson of Morgan State University's Fine Arts Department. Eric, thank you for joining us. Good to have you here as well.
You're welcome.
Khalil Ismail is with us. He is a hip-hop artist who shared stage with artists like Yasin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def, Freeway, Brother Ali. Good to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Welcome. With Mos Def as well, huh? Mm-hmm. That's it. That's good. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Write to us here, steinershow@gmail.com. Along on to our Facebook page, or tweet us at Mark Steiner. Since I've learned how to use it, I can actually see what you wrote. 410-319-8888. So now Keith isn't here to kind of launch this, but so let's just launch it. I mean, one of the things that I think he was talking about in this world that we in the world we occupy is that men in general are often afraid of the arts and what that they indicate, even though the world's changing, it's more developing. But I think that one of the things Keith was talking about was that in the African-American community in particular, the artists are seen, some see the arts as kind of a non-masculine way to lead your life, right? Not that anybody here would say they agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what about, and you're shaking your head, yes, Khalid. Let me start with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, if you're a painter or a drawer and you come up where, you know, here, where we came up, you know, you're probably looked at as soft. Where I am in hip-hop even, it's probably one of the few things that, you know, is so-called masculine. But even there, there's a lot of facade going on. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Why is that? What, Mark?
Well, I think, I think that we're on the dawn of consciousness. And I think that people are, males, are being exposed to so much information that they're starting to look inward. And just like, you know, I would tell people, I say, we've been exposed to the internet. And then after we get to ZZZZZ.com, what else is left? There's no more internet. So you might have to crack a book, or you might have to kind of like think about some things. So we have to always remember, you know, we have XY chromosomes, no matter how masculine we think we are. We still got that sensitive part of us, you know, in our DNA.
I want to come back to the sensitivity question, because this is a piece of it. Eric?
Well, certainly in this culture, I have three boys, and they're very active in sports. And certainly I would say that's more of a masculine activity, play basketball, football. However, to actually, and I can only speak from my own experience, being a musician, taking piano lessons in grade school and high school, that's pretty uncool when everybody else is outside playing, you're practicing. It didn't become really cool until a little later in life when the girls actually liked the fact I could play a little piano. Yes.
Let me go to the phones here and get our listeners in right away. 410-319-8888. And Brother Jacob, you're on the air. Hi, Jacob. Welcome. Good to have you with us. You there, Jacob?
Hey, it's Jason, Brother Jason, sorry.
Go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
Mark, this is Jason. I was I was listening to your show and the importance of art for black men. Am I right? Is that where we're...
Correct.
And I'm talking from my experience. I'm known for being in the streets as a young man, but I wasn't always a street hoodlum or street thug. As a child, I had the opportunity to work with the late, great Hubie Blake and Rosetta Lenora, who was the grandmother who played...
Did we lose you? Okay.
And she was also one of the first black actors, along with Hubie Blake, to be in the cast and production of Bubbling Brown Sugar, which was the first original black Broadway play, the first black Broadway play. At that time, there were no other black plays that were on the Broadway strip. And I had the opportunity to attend the Amaz Hubie Blake Repertorial Children's Theater.
Okay, so what's the point? I mean, we're taking the story.
Right. My point is that experience that I had as a child lasted a lifetime.
Uh-huh.
There was experiences that I developed working with the arts. We did everything from dance, from music, to theatrical, in a professional level as children. We were conducting actual off-Broadway plays in a professional level. Those experiences, you know, just gave me a wealth of knowledge that to this day I still, you know, have some of those guidances and those mentorships that I, you know, got back then from Hubie Blake and from Rosetta Lenora. You know, I still hold them to today. So it's important that we emphasize and bring the arts to children of color. It's just so important, and I see that a lot of schools have gotten away from theatrical plays and
league
clubs and things of that nature, but, you know, it's so stimulus. You know, that's all part of the development and building of a child. You know,
Brother Jason, I appreciate the call. No, I think that what you're adding to this is really important, but let me let my panel kind of jump back into it. I think Keith, I understand, is on my phone right now. Keith, you there?
I am. Good morning, Mark. Sorry, we had a little mix-up.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I understand you have quite a lineup sitting in front of you. So
we do.
I'm glad to join you.
Well, you're here, at least by phone. That's a good thing. 410-319-8880. So let's talk about what Brother Jason was just saying on the phone, just about the heart of how transformative would it have been? Like Mark Cotman, you started painting when you were much older.
I always say it's a combination, like, but I would never have gotten here if I didn't sit at the kitchen table with my father and draw pictures. That was the first number in the combination lock to open this part of me up.
So, but if you had started out early,
mm-hmm.
if the arts were inside of your world early, like obviously they were with you, Eric, in your life, music was part of your life as a child, right?
Well, there have been studies that those who are interested to have been introduced to the arts early in life are generally better students. There's the whole let me just put on my chair hat from Morgan State University that the whole STEM push right now, you know, science, technology, engineering, and math, those disciplines are all very important. However, what would they be without the arts? And there's a huge dialogue in our school putting the STEAM and STEM. You understand, adding the arts to the conversation. I would say that they've done studies that, and for me, I can only speak personally from my music lessons. Those who take music lessons, they actually go through the actual art of preparing a task week to week from the lesson to the lesson, and that gives you discipline and discipline. That is to be successful in life. So I would say, without a doubt, that the arts add an extra, unquantifiable element to one's education that must be present to be successful and to be a complete citizen.
So Khalil, I mean, how present were the arts when you were coming up? In school? They weren't, were they?
Not really.
No.
No, I didn't really. Sports though was a big deal, and that was probably my great distractor.
Yeah. So how different? So I mean, you're a spoken word artist. You're a hip hop artist.
Mm-hmm.
Not something that I mean, in some ways, that's an art that's struggling to be accepted as an art by some quarters, right?
Yes.
So, absolutely. Right? So, which is an interesting statement in itself, because I think that, but we can deal with that in a minute. But so, how different do you think it would have been had arts been completely infused in a world of your youth when you were very young?
Well, I actually wish, because I actually produced, I actually wish that I took keyboard lessons and piano lessons and actually I could play a couple of instruments now. I see where the benefit would have, it would have benefited me greatly. I see where now I'm learning things that if I had learned, say, 10, 12 years old, I probably would have been way more advanced. And so I think that, and just being around and being around musicians and just learning the way that I'm learning now, it gives you, it's very kind of indescribable what, you know, the kind of, I think, well-roundedness it gives you in life. It's like a, it's an escape, but it's like music is one of the few things that actually challenges both sides of your brain. And so, you know, it's, you know, I think it would have been, benefited me greatly.
Now, Keith, let me ask you this question, man. I'm sorry for the mix-up, but I'm glad you're with us, since you started all this off. This show is your fault. So talk a bit about what motivated you to write the email in the first place, and what about the whole question of black men in the arts.
Well, Mark, I was motivated to pursue this because if you read what's going on in the news, I mean, the most prominent, I suspect, right now is this spike in shootings, but you know, there's this perpetual flood of bad news regarding black males. And I think that one of the reasons that happens is because of the absence of art. That might sound simplistic, but I do believe that if you go deeper, you'll find there's some truth in that. But not only the absence of art, I think that it is also because the arts, and I can speak from my own discipline, it gives you an opportunity to kind of have theater, gives you an opportunity to kind of have an out-of-body experience, if you will. You're sitting in an audience, and you're watching things happen before you that probably would not be natural in the realm of reality, but it does allow you to at least look at things from a different perspective, even if just philosophically, and then simmer those things down to practical reality. I think that if we do not have outlets to allow for what we do naturally to create, we're going to create something, whether it be good or bad. We're going, or, you know, indifferent. We're going to create something. The arts allow for that creative, that natural, that organic creative propensity to take place and to be to come alive. So I really do believe that it's vital to any human being. And I think that given what we have been seeing over the past decade or couple of decades, that art is critical to trying to turn this tide. So that's what motivated me to send you that email.
You know, if you were to augment that premise. This is Eric. Yes, he's saying there's a little creativity in all of us, and
absolutely.
Without
yes.
a doubt, and
yes.
those who maybe are maybe the most mischievous, maybe the most creative, and they must get that creativity out in some manner. Those who have a vehicle via music, via theater, via visual arts, you're actually expressing yourself. We all have some of us are quite older in life before we actually realize how to express ourselves.
Right.
And the arts allow that to come through and say you actually have a better understanding of who you are through your art. And then you can be a better citizen.
So one of the things, that we have to take a short break. When I come back, I'll let you kick this off, Keith, and let everybody kind of jump into this. I want to talk very specifically about what your notion is about black men in the arts in particular.
Okay.
And why that motivated you to want to start this conversation.
Absolutely.
And folks, why don't you join us here at 410-319-8888. Tahim and the others who left the conversation and couldn't hold no longer, call back. We want to get your thoughts on this. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Mark. There's Baron back. Echo. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. We are here with Keith Snipes, who created this conversation. He's an actor, narrator, writer, social commentator on the world of the arts and black men. Mark Cotman, I'm a Baltimore-based visual artist, who we just learned was also a stand-up comic for years before that, owner of the Mark Cotman Gallery on Federal Hill, who started painting in his late 30s. Dr. Eric Conway is in the studio, director of the Morgan State University Choir, chairperson of Morgan State University's Fine Arts Department, and Khalil Ismail is with us, hip-hop artist who has shared the stage with some of the great luminaries, Yashim Bey, A.K. Mos Def, Freeway, Brother Ali, 410-319-8888. Taheen, hold on, we are going to come to your call, but I want Keith to launch into this issue, into the subject that you raised in the email about why it was specifically geared towards black men in the arts. What was in your heart and head when you were thinking this?
Let me make the point by sharing with you something I heard that I thought was just very, it was one of those aha moments. I heard one of the greatest actors this country has ever seen, James Earl Jones, was being interviewed. And the interviewer asked him, "Are you in love with your voice?" And James Earl Jones said, "No, I don't hear my voice. When I do hear my voice, I hear it as a tool." And then he went on to say, "But I do understand that the baritone voice is a gift. And when one is given that gift, they have a responsibility to provide clarity." So what I interpreted that to mean was that the baritone voice is a deep voice. I think that black men existentially have deep voices, and the arts allow for those deep voices, for those experiences to be captured and conveyed in the unique way that only black men can capture and convey them. So in my mind, it is vital that we be part of this artistic landscape in this country and beyond. But I think that if we do not allow those deep voices to be heard, then we shortchange not only ourselves, we shortchange democracy. We shortchange this country. And the arts allow for that path to be opened in a very broad manner.
So in essence, what you're saying, if you say black men existentially have deep voices, which has a lot of meaning to it, a lot of
deep
layers to it.
And not so much in tonation.
No, I know, I understand. Right.
But certainly, philosophically, black men have very deep voices based on our unique experience here in America.
So how do the rest of our panel here from, but then we're going to go to Taheen, who just called in at 410-319-8888, view that as in terms of a artistic responsibility? Basically, in some ways, is what Keith is saying?
I certainly do. Especially as a, what I've found in my particular lane is that it feels like almost a movement to suppress that deep voice. As a matter of fact, you can see. I mean, it's easy for me to see the pain through all of the bravado and the acting that goes on in the videos and mainstream urban music.
Wow.
But when you actually talk to a lot of these cats and they get a chance to have a conversation, they tend to be very intelligent and insightful. And what happens is they're literally encouraged and told, look, you're not getting paid unless you do it this particular way. So right now in my position, the reason why I'm an independent artist and will remain probably one in order to continue to have my full creative
control
is because I recognize that we need, especially as young black people, to show that we have that side, even in that it's there, but it's not pushed on the mainstream. But we have very insightful opinions that are really suppressed. And so, I'm glad he said that because that's one of my major missions, because it's something I see really missing in our representation of music across the world. I've been across the world, right? Everywhere I go, people have a certain perception of what black music, young black music is, hip-hop. And then I speak to students and things, and they talk to me, and they say, wow, I didn't even know that you had really kind of articulate people who did. I mean, it's really that crazy. I didn't realize that y'all talk like that. Right. I thought all y'all talk like Snoop, or, you know, and that's all, that's literally all they see and all the representation is across the world. So it's really a big deal to me.
And what you said is something to deeply explore as well, from what Keith said when you said pain through the bravado. I want to come back to that. That's okay. A very powerful thought.
Okay. Well, the thing about it is, the thing about it with us, we are thrown things all the time. We got to catch and deflect. Now, I'll give you an example. I purposefully went to Vermont to do an art show. Purposefully. Out of 265 artists, it was one other woman from North Carolina. I was the only other person of color. Gentleman of the Caucasian persuasion walks up to me, and I'm standing there with my vibrant colors kind of just looking at Vermont, thinking about hugging a tree. And he came to me and said, so what are you doing here? I said, I'm here selling my work, my art. He said, no, what is a black man doing in Vermont?
He did not say that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he went there. So I had to give him my retort to say, well, how long has your ancestors been in this country? Well, they've been here since the 1800s. I said, okay. Well, mine have been here over 400 years. So I think I have just as much, if not more, right to roam and graze the American landscape and not be questioned. So then he said, okay, so where are you from? I'm from Baltimore. No, not where do you live, where are you from? Before that, I said, well, I was in my mother, and before that, I was like kind of cosmic dust. So, and that's not an isolated incident. You see what I'm saying? That's not an isolated incident as a creative person. And I know I throw a little humor in there to try to lighten it up a little bit.
That's what you do.
But to be a creative person, every creative person, like they said, every black man has a police story. Every black male creative person has a story like that. I'm not the only one.
Keith, let Eric jump in and come right back.
Well, I would say on the positive side, since we've had about over 4 years of President Obama's presidency, I would say that black men have a little more swag in their walk and their talk, and they have a little more potential in their voice that I can be president of the United States. And the students that I see at Morgan State, even in the short term, I believe, have been uplifted by this wonderful role model that we have as president, to go into offices and see photos of the first family smiling. And it helps us all, as I think, culturally. So I would say on the positive side of that, that this is that was a positive turn for the black male voice. The biggest black voice in America, Barack Obama.
Keith, and then we'll open the phones here. I'm sorry, I had to interrupt you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that this you brought up, Mark, you brought up the term bravado. And I think that the arts, and particularly in the sphere of black males, it allows for an opportunity to deal with variations on all kinds of human expression. And the one that I think that we need to wrestle with more than any other is our notions of masculinity. You know, who are we as men? I think what we have tended to do is to just tacitly accept this idea that looms about us on what a man is supposed to be within the context of this very patriarchal society where, you know, men even try to decide what women can do with their bodies. But we have not really explored in any major way what our notion as black men, what our notions of masculinity are. And maybe if we could explore that in deeper ways, then maybe we can start to assuage some of the negative consequences of the masculinity that we tacitly accept. So for me, the arts is just a powerful outlet for identity and self-expression and the expression, a collective kind of expression.
Let me open the phones. I promise our listeners to get into this bit here, and I want to come back to some of the statements the four of you have made and really explore them a little deeper. 410-319-8888. Taheen, you're on the air.
Hello?
Taheen, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Sun.
Good morning.
How are you? I've never had the opportunity to talk with you before.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And good morning to all the guests as well. I just want to say just a couple of things, actually. I heard one of your guests talk about the existentialism of the black man's voice. Now, me, myself, I personally have a high-pitched voice. I'm anywhere between tenor and alto when I speak, okay? I've been, you know, ridiculed before because of the tone of my voice and things like that. People think that I'm from Africa or from an island because of the way that I talk. But I'm from upstate New York. And I just want to say this, basically, that there's nothing, any man, period, it doesn't matter what race he may be, but any man that has a love for the fine performing and visual arts, God bless him. Like, there's nothing wrong for a young man or a young boy to want to engage in ballet. You understand? Like, the Harlem Dance Theater is one of the biggest things ever. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I remember when the NFL players were taking ballet lessons for dexterity reasons.
And I think, let me just jump in here. You raised an interesting issue. One of the other guests in the studio today was going to be Vincent Thomas, but he couldn't make it today because he's teaching dance sessions at the University of Maryland College Park right now. But he's a choreographer. He's a choreographer for many plays that come through Baltimore. He's a dancer. He's very clear and out about his sexuality as well, and a very strong and brilliant guy, and an incredible artist. So he would be raising these issues here today because that's part of the – I was with a woman the other day who talked about how difficult it is to find, for no matter who the man is, young boy is, black or white or whatever they happen to be, to find a studio for ballet for young men. Though Peabody has one now that kind of helps young men who want to be in a ballet. And I think that that's part of the issue as well. You know, that I think there's all kinds of stigma sometimes involved in some of this, and that dance is a huge part of the artistic world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people can be seen as the other by many others if they're in it.
Oh, sure, yeah. All the stereotypes. And in music, of course, there's certain instruments that you think that are more masculine, more feminine. You think of flute as typically being female, but then there's Jean-Paul. You think of harp as being female, but then you got Jeff Majors, who always says, my man Snoop Dogg, whenever I see him. But there's all these different other instruments. Double bass, you think, might be more for a mace, for a man. But in my orchestra at Morgan, whenever we have a double bassist is a female. So there's all these stereotypes that you must fight. I will say that without a doubt that I'll tell you, I advise students all the time at Morgan State, and I say, you know, and often in college, you don't know what you want to do in life. But if God gives you a talent, you got to explore it. You have to use it, or you'll never be happy in life. I just want to get this out right mm-hmm, now. Mm-hmm. That if God gives you maybe you don't have to major it in college, but you got to use it, or you're going to feel unfulfilled as a person. And I would say in this talk of masculinity and creativity, that if you're a creative person, somehow do not suppress it, or you only have one life to live. And if you suppress it, you'll be on your dying day. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. You must have no regrets in life.
That is such a powerful statement that Dr. Conway just made. And I think it is absolutely true. I mean, for years, I tried to live my life as a government bureaucrat. It hurt like hell. It hurt like hell. It did. But Mark, I wanted to make a comment about what you said about Vincent Thomas. I had the opportunity to actually go and witness one of his classes.
He's
where
amazing.
He does, in fact,
just amazing.
Have a studio where he brings in Towson's football team. And those are some big guys. And Vincent is really not that large a guy.
No.
You know, he's average size. But you know, he has those guys in there, and they're on whatever you call those poles and or, you know, the things that look like hurdles that dancers use. They're on those things, and they are actually learning very classical dance techniques. And to watch not only these football players do that, but to watch them do it and be comfortable doing it. Yeah. And to watch Vincent, who you said is and I think all would agree, is very comfortable with his own sexuality, but to watch that juxtaposition of a gay man instructing and in absolute control of his environment with all of these huge football players, and everybody is in sync. He creates a community in that classroom. And I do believe that it has everything to do with the fact that he's an artist.
And on that, let me go to the phones. A lot of people are calling in to get in this conversation. Maybe I'll have to push Michelle Martin out of the way. No, we can't do that. 410-319-8888. Vincent, from here at Morgan State University, you're on the air. Hi, Vincent, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, how are you, Mark?
Very well. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And greetings to my chairperson, Dr. Eric Conway. I'm Vincent Stringer.
Hey, Vincent.
Hey, Vincent, could you turn your radio off?
Oh, I certainly will. Hello. Okay,
right.
Now.
Yeah. There you go.
Great. Well, I wanted to say, you know, the arts is very important to me. And I would say I could use the term, the arts saved me. I came from the city of Hartford, Connecticut, and grew up there in, you know, a rough neighborhood and in a rough high school. But it was the arts, music, visual arts, drama, all of those things that helped me to find my purpose in life and helped me to become a stronger person and ultimately to find myself my way here to Morgan State University in Baltimore, where I'm able to serve and work with young people and help inspire them, and in particular with young black men. I'm an opera singer by profession, and I have a big, booming bass voice.
We can hear it.
And when you're talking about the deep voice of black men, oftentimes I found myself, because I am articulate and I speak with a resonance, that often has placed me in a position of being intimidating to other people. Mm-hmm. So when I express my ideals, it's oftentimes I'm excited and I speak with an emphatic presentation. So therefore, it has caused people to be uncomfortable. And then what happens at times is you're asked to soften your speaking voice and ultimately soften your ideals, because people find themselves uncomfortable with, you know, the sound of this black voice. So it's been a very interesting experience living with a rich voice and being a strong black man who is an artist with ideals in this American society that is often not willing and ready to receive or to hear what you have.
Vincent, what you're saying is very powerful. It takes me back to something, Khalil, you were talking about earlier, about the voice and how it's heard. And one of the things it's ringing in my head, this kind of pain through the bravado, the way you put it.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, what Vincent was just saying in terms of another angle of that, just the power of the voice and the power of presence, and how, on the one hand, threatening, as he put it, to a larger society in some ways, but within that alleged threat, is the power to open up society. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and, yeah. And you know, it's funny. I see two extremes there with us. And like I say, on my side, it's the extreme of the basically you're taught at an early age that vulnerability is weak. You know, to show your vulnerabilities to, but you really your unique vulnerabilities are probably the most valuable thing that you have.
Hmm.
And the most, and from an early age, you're really taught that's not what you show. And as a matter of fact, that's not how you'll get anywhere. You know, as a young black man, especially growing up in a hip hop generation. So what you have to do is, you know, where money kind of becomes God, chasing money become, I mean, part of that process is throwing away who you are and becoming who they want you to be in order to get that. So you really devalue yourself. And in that process, they're telling you to kind of throw away yourself or your vulnerabilities. And that's kind of what's happened.
That's also a very powerful statement, I think. I think that's what this is. We will continue this conversation beyond this today's show, I think, because part of it is what Keith was saying earlier, and I was thinking about what you were saying, Eric, about Obama, is that, and what black men have to confront, which is what you were talking about, both in terms of police and in terms of the racism that everybody is going to confront in this world, who's black, especially black men, but the other side of that is that voice is a voice for a new world. I keep thinking of Langston Hughes's poem. This is not my America, but it's going to be the America we want it to be.
Well, eventually, it's going to be that anyway. You can't stop the truth, what Keith said about the deepness, it's not the volume, it's not the low sound. It's the it's where it's coming from in your spirit.
Right.
Intensity.
You know? And it's like, yeah, and all the stuff that you carry, and you get a wisdom from that. You get a wisdom from reflecting on your day sometimes, some things you had to deflect. You have to, you know. And a lot of times people think a revolution starts with violence, but what the young brother said there, it can start from showing your vulnerabilities. And I'll give you an example. I had a friend of mine, an artist. He says, man, I'm going to paint stuff, and they're going to pay attention, and that's going to be violent and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I noticed that most of the museum shows that keep coming around during Black History Month shows us in pain. We hanging from a tree. We got blackface on the bus. You know, it doesn't show the consciousness and where we are going. It keeps going back to our pain and suffering, being raped by master and all that, you know. As an artist, I get tired of seeing that. I want to see something else. That's important. Don't get me wrong. We shall never forget that.
Cannot forget.
That's right. But I want to see where we're going. I want to see where we're going. And I give you an example. Like a friend of mine said, a revolution comes with me cutting this paper up and throwing all kind and breaking wine bottles and gluing. I said, good, that's you. I did a painting of a beautiful flower. Looking at me, I weigh over 250 pounds. If you see me on the street when I was younger, now my hair is white, I was a little bit more intimidating than I was now. But the fact is, somebody saw a flower, and whoever I was with, I could be standing there by, let's say, a kid 5 years old. They would ask the kid 5 years old, did you paint that? And not ask me, did I paint? They would just assume, you know, that I'm coming from a violent perspective, that I can't pause and look at the beauty of nature and capture it in a painting. And that's more of a revolution because it changes the conversation. It changes the stereotypes. And it also changes how you approach me and any black male after me. And the same thing with the other brothers here talking about how they express themselves.
Eric, and then Keith, we have about 3 minutes left, unfortunately. I wish we had more time. We're going to come back to this. I think this is a very critical subject for us to continue.
Mark, I just quickly want to, first of all, thank you for taking me up on the offer. You know, not too many shows in this area would have had this conversation, and I do hope that we'll have an opportunity to do it again. But in terms of what the brother just said, I think one of the most revolutionary things that a black man can do is be an artist.
I think that's true. And what I'm thinking about here as I'm listening to everybody speak, the reflections to me are that, you know, here we are in this world where we're about to see this verdict come down next week. in the Zimmerman trial.
Oh yeah,
right, right.
It waltz all over again.
it could. Let's hope not. But you know, I'm really worried about what's going to happen in this trial.
Yeah.
We went out both. Yeah.
But what you're saying here though is the other side of the coin. That's why I keep pushing this. It reminds me, reflecting on your conversation just a minute ago, Mark, about the flower.
Right.
And that the vision for the future, the vision for what this place could be, comes out of the pain, power, and beauty of what, in part, what black men need to offer society. And that's what's, and people, I think there's a lot of fear in that in a larger society.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And just this, just what he said about being an artist and what he said, I think being an artist, but being yourself as an artist. I think the big issue is that we want to be artists, but we want to do what the other person did. And I like what you said about the fact that you didn't necessarily, I think it was Mark, you didn't necessarily want to, you didn't necessarily seek that thing, but you followed it. You were like, at the end of the day, this is what I have to do because I found out this is me. And a lot of us never get the opportunity through all the distraction to actually find out what we are and what we are able to create.
Now, this is you had the last thought for today, but not the last thought for this conversation.
Right.
And I want to thank Khalil Ismail for being here with us. It's great to meet you, man. Never met before. Good
Thanks.
To have you. Thank Bobby Marvin Holmes for suggesting you come to this program today. Eric Conway, head of fine arts here, director of Morgan State University Choir.
My
Always
pleasure
to see you, Eric. Mark Cotman. What can I say?
Can I invite the people to my gallery, Mark?
You can, man. Please do.
Please come down to the Mark Cotman Gallery. And the number is 443-872-0943. We're located at 1014 South Charles Street. And come see my gallery director, Antoinette Powell. She'll be there ready to meet and greet you.
And Keith Snipes, who started this revolutionary conversation today, actor, narrator, writer, social commentator, and soon to be co-host and substitute host on the show. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
And all of you, thank you for calling in. Sorry we didn't get to all the calls. Intense conversation. We'll come back to this conversation in the coming months and weeks because it's a very powerful one to have. And this group of guests were just amazing. Thank you all for doing this today.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Bobby Marvin Holmes, Mark Gunnery, and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our interns are Lila Warshaw, Albert Phillips Jr., Daniel Dupree, Alex Rudy, Sinead Hawkins, Michelle Zai, and Kamani Selden. Our theme music is by Will Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show today, to podcast our shows, to check out information about our guests, please visit us on our website, steinershow.org. And don't forget, you can now podcast and listen to all of our programs on iTunes. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, I'm Mark Steiner. Stay tuned for Michelle Martin. Take care. Have a great day.